It's a pleasure to introduce our preacher today, parishioner Liz Milner, who is a chaplain at Elmwood County Jail, Santa Clara County Jail. Liz.
Thank you. Good morning. So I'm Liz, and myself and my husband Marius, who's actually visiting my father in Scotland right now, have been here at St. Mark's for about a year, and I just want to say thank you for welcoming us. It's been a wonderful place to be. So before we came to this church, I was actually serving as an associate pastor at another church in Palo Alto. And while I was doing that, about 10, 12 years ago, I also started volunteering as a chaplain in the local Santa Clara County Jail. For those of you who haven't been to jail, it's located just by the Great Mall in Mill Peters. And I'm based there working in the men's jail. And I'd love to share more about that with you and how I got there and what it's like. And so if you'd like to learn more, please come to the forum after the service and we'll share some. And also how St. Mark's has been getting involved. We run some, parishioners and I run a spirituality and writing group with some of the men in the jail. And I'll be sharing some of the writing that's come from the men in the sermon, so you'll get to hear from them too. So the passages that were read today, today's passages, they're not ones that fall into the category of comforting or nice. Jeremiah, the strident Old Testament prophet, said such things as, "The word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long." Paul, the strident apostle, tells us we have been buried with Christ in death. And Jesus caps it off by telling us, "I have not come to bring peace to the world, but a sword." These are passages that I like to skip through quickly. They disturb us, and they're difficult to integrate with the idea of God as all-loving and kind and compassionate. But as I work and walk through the passages of the jail, the darkness and the chaos of the lives of many in there lead me to believe that these passages actually do make sense and can become strangely comforting at times. Three things strike me when I read these passages in the context of the jail. Number one, God has the capacity to hear and to hold all the darkness within this world and within you and me. Secondly, God sometimes does wrestle, does fight with us in order to bring our healing. And thirdly, new resurrection life always springs up, but only after something has died. So firstly, God has the capacity to hold and hear darkness. This is something that Jose wrote last week in our group. "I never thought I would be among the walking dead, because that's how it feels, being homeless and living in a trash compactor. Remembering having a two-story house, then letting go of the Lord's hands. Afraid to sleep because of the nightmares that I made for myself, thinking the Lord would never reach out for my hand, crying to take me out of this trash life." Jeremiah describes something similar. His words, "Within me there is something like a burning fire shut in my bones, and I'm weary holding it. I hear many whispering, terror is all around." Paul, "We have been buried." The pages of our Bible tell us that God is no stranger to the darkest and most despicable moments of human life. As a child, I was always perplexed that my parents would censor movies that had even moderate sex and violence in them, and yet leave copies of the Bible spread around our house, encouraging me to read it, this holy book that includes descriptions of violent murders and gang rapes. But when darkness hits us, whether we are like Jose, literally thrown in the trash heaps of life, making nightmares for ourselves, or whether we are relatively respectable Palo Altans, whose darkness is more hidden, quieter, and less obvious. When darkness overshadows you and me, it's comforting for me to know that we have a God who sees it, knows it, hears it, holds it, and can enter into it with us. It's comforting to me to have the companion of our scripture that describes this darkness, the suffering, the terror, and allows it to be part of the life we have with God. It's comforting to me to hear Paul say, "We have been buried with Christ." I'm not sure that he was thinking about literally being buried in a trash compactor, but buried is buried. When we're overwhelmed and buried in darkness, now we know we're not alone, for Christ is buried with us. In 2007, in the church I was working in then, two people in the church had a very large conflict, and I was close to both of them, and I was caught in the middle of it. I felt miserable, and I reacted with anxiety and stress, and I sank into what I now know is called depression, which lasted a few years. It was difficult, and I had to put aside my very British reserve and finally seek help from a therapist. Being depressed at times felt like being buried, dark, stifling, difficult to breathe, hard to imagine it will ever be over. But though I needed help from other people to recognize it, the voice and the presence of God was always there saying, "I'm here." What are the dark places in our lives where God might be wanting to say to you today, "I'm here"? There's more in these readings. It seems to me that God himself sometimes wrestles, sometimes fights with us to bring our healing about. Jesus, "Do not think I've come to bring peace, I bring a sword." Jeremiah, a wonderful line in scripture, "The Lord is with me like a dread warrior." These are images of a God who fights with weapons, sometimes fights us. It's uncomfortable. Why does he do it? Well, Jesus tells us that those who lose their lives may find them. Jeremiah says, "He delivers the life of the needy." So the image is of a God willing to get into a fight with us when needed to bring healing, deliverance. Sometimes, and those of us who are parents know this, the road to healing and wholeness and maturity involves tough love and difficult lessons. Listen again to an inmate describe the fighting love of God in his life. These are Jerry's words. "The year was 2009, and I had literally lost myself as a person. I got lost in my addiction to using meth. I was stuck in a vicious cycle of smoking meth nonstop. I had forgotten things I used to be interested in. I remember praying to God once, begging him to unslave me from this drug. He answered me by bringing me to jail. It saved my life." Do you hear the fight of God for this man? His saving action was not a miraculous waving of a wand to make everything better. Was not comfortable. Was not easy, and it's not yet over. This man is still in jail. We'll see him this afternoon. But God was at work in the losing of freedom and life to bring the finding of healing and wholeness. Last year, when I stepped down from my church role, I applied to several programs for clinical pastoral education, which is a course that's run in hospitals to train chaplains. One of the places I applied to was Stanford Hospital, the university. Now, I have, or had, an almost perfect academic record. I was a straight A student in high school. I went to Cambridge University and studied math, which now horrifies me. I had never been rejected by anything I had applied to. So you can tell where I'm heading right now. Until Stanford Hospital wrote me a very polite, very short, and very clear letter saying no. They didn't even talk to me first. Now, it may not sound like much, but it rocked me to my core. I was angry. I was upset with Stanford, with God. I thought I'd made a huge mistake leaving a comfortable job to do this thing which now didn't look like it was going to happen. And I turned to God for comfort and encouragement. And what I felt from God was pushback and a little fight. Because I feel like God said to me, Liz, your pride is tripping you up. Let this rejection teach you. Let this rejection kill your pride, which will interfere and get in the way of your ministry. It was surprisingly hard. But in the end, I found a hospital that was way better suited for me, one that had the flexibility to let me go to the jail when the job came open. But most importantly, God fought me and won. He started to break the pride in me, humbling me. And I tell you today, that is still a work in progress. Have you ever known the tough love of God fighting for you, for your life? Do you need that, or does someone you love need that right now? Finally, those of us who've known those tough love moments of God, we take comfort in the truth expressed by Paul, by Jesus, that after death, after loss, comes resurrection and new life. Indeed, there can be no resurrection, no new life, unless something first dies. It is a lot easier to talk about resurrection and new life than it is to talk about death, right? That's why our Easter service makes this church burst at the seams, and our Good Friday service is just a little bit smaller. But until something dies, there can be no springing back to life. Paul says if we've died with Christ, we will live with him. Jesus says, those who lose their life, they will find it. It's hard to let go. It's hard to let something in us die. It's hard to let go of our dependence on anything other than God. Be that meth, be that that glass of wine at the end of the day to relax. Be that a drive to find identity in good grades or great work or our money or our lifestyle or our children's success. The list is truly endless. It's hard to humble ourselves and say, I am searching for life in all the wrong places. And see, that's where I believe the inmates in the county jail have an advantage over us today. Their pride has been stripped from them. Their weakness has been exposed, and they are naked, often literally before people, spiritually before God. And in the losing of that life, they are finding life. Listen to the words of Eugene. He's a 37-year-old man who spent 28 years in and out of jail. and he's looking at another possible 20-year prison sentence. He writes, "I am lonely, but still loved. Quite sad, but full of joy." Or Martin's prayer that he wrote last week in class. "Dear God, what can I tell you that you don't already know? I'm sorry if it seems I'm not as productive with my life as most people, but you know my heart. I'm capable of love. Thank you for your forgiveness. I really don't mean to make the same mistakes over and over again, and I try. I'm sorry if it seems otherwise. Respectfully, Martin." The losing and the finding of life, entwined and always related. My experience in the jail, in my own life, and when I listened to the scripture this morning, tells me that when we lose our lives, our pride, our drive to find identity in anything other than God, we will discover new life, resurrection, and forgiveness. Death does, in fact, always lead to resurrection. So my prayer and my hope for you and myself and my friends in the jail is that through the words of God in Scripture and through one another, you will know deeply that God is big enough to hold all the darkness in you and all the darkness in our world. That you will know that God will fight with you at times for your healing. And that after death, new life always springs up. Amen.